Washington Court of Appeals Decision 1 is now in session. The Honorable Michael Fearman presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Our first matter is State of Washington versus Jason Markley. Council ready?
Yes.
Good morning, Your Honors. Casey Granis on behalf of Jason Markley. I'll reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Very well.
The issue before the court is sufficiency of the evidence. More precisely, the issue is whether a person who has no previous horse experience can be found guilty of the crime of first-degree animal cruelty by starvation when that person inherits a horse that's already thin and starved and then fails to rehabilitate it. What the crux of this case comes down to is the standard of care, the reasonable standard of care, because negligence is the legal standard. The state, in prosecuting this case and successfully obtaining a conviction, sought to hold Mr. Markley to an expert standard of care. In other words, what an expert, a person who has previous horse experience, or a person who, by training, has this knowledge necessary to know what it takes to keep an old horse well maintained or to rehabilitate it once it's already become starved. The state and the trial court agreed that Mr. Markley was guilty because he didn't feed the horse properly. But feeding the horse properly depends on what the reasonable standard of care is for a person in Mr. Markley's situation.
Is it an objective standard of care, or are there subjective components? What's the legal standard?
It's an objective standard of care for negligence. So the question then is, under that objective standard, what would a reasonable person have done in Mr. Markley's situation?
And that would be a reasonable person, not a reasonable person with expertise in horse care, or a person who lacks expertise in horse care, just what a reasonable person lacks
expertise. We're talking about a lay standard here. This is what this case really comes down to. It's lay standard versus expert standard when it comes to the reasonable standard of care for negligence here. Now, we look at the evidence. We see what it took to put weight back on that horse. It took Dr. Mueller, an equine specialist, to come up with a specialized feeding plan to safely put weight back on the horse that had been in Mr. Markley's care. Now, Mr. Markley, again, a person with no previous horse experience, doesn't have that type of expert knowledge to be able to do that. The evidence, looked at in the light most favorable to the state, shows that Mr. Markley, when faced with having this thin horse on his hands, tried. It's not as if he didn't feed the horse. He did feed the horse. And this is the state's evidence. He did feed that horse. He fed it hay. And he got the inexpensive hay, or he switched to the more inexpensive hay, because he could feed more of it to the horse.
Would a reasonable person, based on the evidence that was presented at trial, I'm not sure, were there pictures and so forth that were offered during the case?
You know? There were photographs that were admitted into evidence, yes.
Would it have been obvious to any person looking at the horse that the horse was underweight or starving?
You could see the ribs poking out in some of those photos.
That was presented at trial then is having made that observation, what would a reasonable person undertake after learning that information?
Yeah, what would a reasonable person have done? Now, the state at trial, and on appeal for that matter, has argued that, a reasonable person in Mr. Markley's situation would have sought out the cause of the horse's lack of weight. In other words, that Mr. Markley should have gone to the vet to find out what to do. The evidence looked at in the light most favorable to the state shows that Mr. Markley did not go to the vet. But then that's why I cite State v. Smith in the briefing. In that case, that case involved a llama who had lost weight in the defendant's care. The defendant didn't seek out this expert assistance from the vet to find out how to put weight back on that llama. And the Court of Appeals in that case found that that evidence would support a second-degree conviction for failure to seek necessary medical attention. But that's not first-degree animal cruelty. And Mr. Markley finds himself basically in the same situation. Again, this is a person who really, in order to sustain this conviction, this Court would have to find that in reading this first-degree animal cruelty statute, that the reasonable standard of care, what a reasonable person would have done in this situation based on an objective standard, that that requires the person to have the expert knowledge to do what needs to be done to put a weight back on an old horse. And that, essentially, is not Mr. Markley's situation. It's not. And that's why the conviction has to be reversed. And unless there's any other questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Gretchen Holmgren on behalf of the State of Washington. The State is asking today that the Court affirm the conviction of Jason Markley for the crime of animal cruelty in the first degree. I first want to address specific questions by the Court to Mr. Grannis, specifically whether or not it would be obvious to anyone looking at these horses that the horse was thin. The case originated, was first brought to the attention of animal control by two reports. We don't have additional information, but two random people called animal control to make a contact about this horse. So it was not only obvious to anyone looking at this horse, it was obvious to anyone driving by, and it was...
But we don't know who those folks were.
We don't.
It could have been a veterinarian driving by.
It could have been a veterinarian, but it was significant enough to reach out to animal control and to seek out a welfare check for these animals, for this animal. The horse in this case is named Alex, who's a quarter horse. And when he was first observed by Officer Westberg with animal control, she immediately noticed and was able to tell by sight and by touch that he had literally no fat or muscle on his body. The main question in this case, as Mr. Grannis pointed out, is whether or not the standard of care was met. And it is an objective standard, and it is not an expert standard. And I would put forth to the Court that it's a reasonable person in this same situation. In briefing and in argument, Mr. Grannis has specifically noted that Mr. Markley is a rookie. He doesn't have any prior horse experience. He had never owned a horse before. However, as Mr. Grannis stated, he did not inherit this horse. This was a conscious decision. This was a purchased animal. This was, as evidence suggested, this was a horse that was sought out along with another animal that was purchased at the same time. This animal was visited, this animal was researched, this animal was visited twice, actually. This animal was transported to their home, this animal was ridden by the family, and this animal was shooed. When it comes to whether or not this animal was fed, I think it's important to look at what they did do for this animal. The animal was shooed, and the only reason for a horse to be shooed, as presented by testimony during trial, is so that the animal can be ridden. This is a farrier. This is not someone that is common to anyone without horse experience to know what this person does. But this person needed to be sought out, contacted, arranged an appointment, come to their house to shoe the horse. So it's clear that some research, it's clear inference that some research was done for Mr. Markley to get what he wanted out of the horse. However, the hay that was provided to this horse was of no nutritional value. It's also clear that steps were taken. The original hay purchased, according to Mr. Markley, upon statements to Officer Westberg when she first contacted him, the original hay was purchased was of higher quality, and it was more expensive.
If he had continued to purchase the high-quality hay and the horse did not recover, would that sustain a conviction?
Well, it's an interesting question because the term recover assumes very basically that the horse, when originally purchased was in the same condition or was in a very poor condition.
Didn't the farrier observe that the horse was emaciated in January?
Yes, in January. We don't specifically know when in January. The horse was purchased at the beginning of January or close to December.
And wasn't the expert testimony that the horse had been deprived of nutrition for a long period of time?
For a long period of time, but it was also, there was no specific testimony that the horse was emaciated when they purchased it. It was fairly consistent that the horse was likely thin, but I think there is a specific difference between thin and emaciated. Based on the Henneke scale, we're grading a horse from 1 to 10. Quarter horse of Alex's character should be between a 4 and a 5. In April, when he was surrendered, he was graded as low as a 1, as high as a 1.5. Thin could be anywhere from a 3, perhaps a 2. I think the difference between thin and emaciated is thin suggests, yes, you need to put on weight. Emaciated is a critical condition where the body is literally in panic mode and begins to eat away at itself.
We don't have any scoring before April, though, right, on the Henneke scale?
We do not have any scoring. No testimony was provided designated who sold the horse or who sold Mr. Markley the horse, where specifically it was. Two cities were provided, but no specific information. We had no way to discern who had sold him the horse in the prior condition.
If Mr. Markley on April 9th had, after consultant Dr. Stewart, having come to the see the horse, if he had himself taken the horse to Dr. Mueller to try to get on a special program, would that have sustained? Would there have been a prosecution?
I can't say. I apologize. I believe that's a hypothetical situation. The reason that a crime was originally charged was because of the quick care of the horse and how quickly the horse improved. The horse was in Dr. Mueller's care for approximately 3 months, the same time the horse was in Mr. Markley's care. And all that we knew at that time was that Mr. Markley had provided hay with no nutritional value to this horse. And literally, when a sergeant with King County Animal Control, with 30 years of personal and professional experience, evaluated this horse a day or two after it had been surrendered by Mr. Markley, she honestly considered euthanizing the horse based on a quality of life standard. She literally at that time was debating whether or not this horse would be better off dead. And it's unlikely that horse remained in that condition for the entire 3 months. He most likely got worse during that time. I can't say what would have happened had Mr. Markley then taken all of the necessary recommendations and provided the food. I think it was very clear from his actions that he was unwilling to do so because he had already made the switch from the high-quality hay to the low-quality hay. The state, in regards to the standard of care, again, this was a very conscious choice. This horse was purchased. The state feels that anyone in that situation, it's reasonable to think, given technology and the different quick information available, that it's not unreasonable to ask the question, what should I feed this animal? Simply because it's an older horse, simply because the horse might have been a little bit more thin, does not negate that responsibility. In regards to any animal, any person for that matter, nutritional requirements differ from age and size. You would not feed a miniature poodle the same as you would a Great Dane. Anyone walking down the aisle at a supermarket can see that those foods are differentiated between size and age. And that same goes for people. In regards to whether or not this horse was fed, local hay was provided. However, starvation doesn't mean that no food, just not enough food. For example, if someone were to eat a nothing but a cabbage soup diet for a month, would they be eating? Yes. Would they also likely be starving? Yes. And would that impact be different on an 8-year-old person as opposed to a 25-year-old healthy individual? Absolutely.
But there's no evidence, though, that he didn't actually feed the horse. I mean, the horse was fed during the entire time that he was with Mr. Markley, was he not?
Well, their information provided was that local hay was provided. Yes. And the consistent
and a reasonable person would know that there's a difference between ordinary person would know there's a difference between Eastern Washington hay and Western Washington hay?
Well, I think a reasonable person in that situation who makes a decision to purchase a horse, I think it can be assumed based on his standard of care. At some point, he provided higher quality of hay. How did he know at that time to start with the higher quality of hay? We don't have that information. You can infer maybe someone told him, maybe he asked, maybe he did the research, but that's the hay he started with. And then he switched to the local hay because it was less expensive. And one can also assume basic common sense that at some point you get what you pay for.
But was there evidence that he knew the difference between the two types of hay?
Well, he knew that one was that cost less. One cost less.
Okay. But there was no evidence that he knew the difference in the nutritional value of those two types of hay?
No. No testimony was provided that he specifically knew that it was less. And I think that criminal negligence anticipates that. No one is suggesting in this case, as there are other avenues with animal cruelty in the first degree, that there are cases out there where people intentionally hurt animals, intentionally cause them pain. However, a criminal negligence standard anticipates that he didn't know. But the bottom line is he should have known. And that's where we get with criminal negligence, that it was a gross deviation from care that a reasonable person would in the same situation give.
What's your reading on Smith, the case with the llama?
Well, I think in terms of the court specifically found that a veterinarian should have been consulted. And I think that's consistent with the findings that Judge Carey gave, but that doesn't negate the food requirement. In this case, when the horse was rehabilitated, he didn't require a lot of additional tests. Even though Mr. Grannis references specific feeding plan, all of these weren't prescribed foods. This wasn't medicine given. These were foods that were available less than a mile away from Mr. Markley's house. Because she gave it in a certain way that it was very successful, it doesn't mean that he could not have been successful with the same amount of, with the same food.
How does that contrast with the facts in Smith?
In terms of, I believe in Smith, and I apologize, I would have to look at it more closely, and I can provide additional briefing if necessary. I believe there was a specific underlying medical issue in that case. I don't believe it was just about food. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to pick up again with the standard of care issue in this case. The standard of care for a reasonable person in Mr. Markley's situation differs from the standard of care for those who have specialized knowledge about how to properly feed a senior emaciated horse in Western Washington. I want to take off from that Western Washington bit, because if this horse, if Mr. Markley lives on the other side of the mountains, other side of the Cascades, he's good. There's no problem here. Because the hay, as it turns out, as we find out from the experts, the hay in Eastern Washington has the nutrient value that can sustain an old horse. It's only the hay in Western Washington, though. On the other side of the Cascades, it's not good enough to maintain an old horse, especially one that comes in already thin when the person inherits it, as Mr. Markley did.
But if you've got a horse that it's apparent the horse is in bad condition, and you're feeding him and you're feeding him and you're feeding him and you're not seeing a change in his condition, isn't the normal response or the response of a reasonable person to take some additional steps?
Yeah, the additional step, one could argue, is that you go to the vet. You seek out someone who has the expert knowledge that can tell you what's wrong and what it takes to fix the problem. In other words, it's not just an issue, it's not just a matter of looking at this horse, looking at Alex and saying, oh, that's a thin horse. That horse needs to put on weight. That's not all that's required here to prove the conviction. Going to the reasonable standard of care, what would a reasonable person have done? Again, as Your Honor suggests, a reasonable person would have taken additional steps after it became apparent that the horse was not putting on weight. After a period of time. But then that gets back to, well, what would a person have done? You go to the vet, go to someone who has previous horse experience, get it the medical attention it needs. That's not first-degree animal cruelty. That's something else. I'd also like to make a couple of other points. One is that the state seems to put some emphasis here on the fact that Mr. Markley purchased this horse along with another horse that was of adequate weight at the time and maintained his weight in Mr. Markley's care. But the state seems to suggest that, well, he purchased it. That's some sort of moral culpability here. Well, we can quickly change the scenario a little bit. What if he hadn't purchased it? What if he had just...
Is that what the trial court relied on, though?
No, the trial court didn't. But I just want to point out that doesn't matter. That kind of distinction is it's a red herring. And in the few seconds I have left, I'd also point out that the record clearly shows, and the uncontroverted evidence is that Alex, the horse, was in bad shape when Mr. Merkley took it under his care. And that's the state's evidence, and everything else is consistent with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.